go.
This is Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, GU corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Now here's your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Oh, good morning, Danny. How are you now?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing swell.
We've covered Stan Kroenke's trust in Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
We've looked at whether or not practice replicates game situations. We've talked about contract. Hey, I know. Let's get to some unanswered position battles in Seattle. You ready?
I'm ready.
Start in the middle of things. Center.
Literally.
Sounds like Kyle Fuller has the advantage on Ethan Posick right now. Posick's back at practice this week, but he's been out, had a hamstring injury, came back, re-aggravated the hamstring injury. We haven't seen him yet in a preseason game. Here's Brady Henderson, ESPN.com's beat reporter who covers the Seahawks. He was on with Jake and Stacy yesterday talking about sort of where it stands between Posick and Kyle Fuller right now.
It almost sounded like Kyle Fuller is the clear front runner to win that job. Just with the way that he said, I'm not ruling out Ethan Posick to eventually win that job, which makes it sound like, you know, Fuller is ahead of him. And I guess that makes sense just because, you know, Posick missed so much time.
Also, I would say that Ethan Posick did not, I think, garner a whole lot of trust with his play and along with the rest of the play on the interior offensive line down the stretch.
Yeah, it's so... I'll raise my hand and say one of the things that I'm unclear on is how Seattle feels about Posick. Because he's a second-round pick, which is a very high choice for an offensive lineman, especially one who primarily played center. He was drafted when Tom Cable was here and was promptly, as Cable has wanted to move, oh, you played center when you were best in college. Why don't we move you somewhere else? Why don't we have you play somewhere else? He was injured, but when he did play, was not overly impressive in his first three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him in Houston. Talking about Posick.
Last year, he looked good.
Right.
Last year, Posick looks really good for the first half of the season.
Down the stretch is where everything shifted a little bit.
And that's where it gets a little unclear to me because, and maybe we just need to lean more on Ray Roberts. I feel like offensive line is where people decide something, where I'm like, hold up, when was that decision? Like where it was like, Ethan Posick had problems down the stretch in pass protection, and that was a big issue. I'm like, wait, when did that happen? Why do we think it was him and not Mike Iupati or not Damian Lewis?
It's a generalization, right? Because we're looking at the interior of the offensive line.
Right.
You think to yourself, well, one of those guys was probably screwing
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And then it was like, and Posick stunk before, so he probably stinks now. He becomes a free agent. He doesn't get a lot of interest, but Seattle brings him back. Seattle did not bring him back at a contract that makes you say they believe he's their center for years to come. But they paid him enough that they think he's capable of doing the job. So I can't tell. So I'm raising my... I believe Brady's right. I think Kyle Fuller is going to start the season at center. I don't know if that's a good thing or a flashing light that this is a potential problem on that offensive line.
I think that it just stands to reason that a guy who has been on four teams... I mean, I remember Fuller when he was drafted in Houston... was there for a couple of years behind Nick Martin, their center, who they really liked. I don't know, was that good? And he ends up getting shipped off elsewhere. If this guy is someone that at times earlier in camp supposedly had, and this was for, I believe, Greg Bell, a pretty good grip on that starting center gig, I don't know what would have changed between then and now if we're not seeing Ethan Posick out there at all. And it might not be the worst thing in the world. I mean, we've seen the Seahawks go to their backup center before not too long ago. I know Joey Hunt was a little undersized and was pushed back a lot.
Aw, little Joey Hunt.
But was it a massive drop-off from Justin Britt when Joey Hunt came in? It was a drop. I don't think it was a big one. That's the one position where I feel like you can get away with holding things together with duct tape and rubber bands and such.
Well, usually you have another 300-pounder. He's flanked by the two strongest guys on the line, right?
Right.
So you should be able to provide some help in most cases. That said, Joey Hunt was pretty good, but there were three plays every game in which the opposing defensive tackle would pick him up as if he were a suitcase and just fling him.
Right. He's like bigger Travis Homer than that. It just got ragged.
No, Travis Homer was a good pass protector. I never saw.
Question two. Boom, roasted. All right. So at Sam linebacker, we believe it's Daryl Taylor, but if KJ Wright were to be brought in, he's still available. Maybe KJ Wright gets slid back in. Brady Henderson of ESPN weighed in on what he's seen out of Daryl Taylor thus far.
You know, he has definitely not stood out to me really in the preseason, and I'm kind of wondering, is that just a matter of him having to knock off rust because he didn't play last year, hasn't played since, what was it, December of 2019, because he missed his rookie season with that leg injury, or whether it's something, you know, more troubling. And not only has he not played in a year, he's also playing a new position.
When I hear that, I don't like it, but at the same time, it's someone else confirming something that I thought I was seeing, but everyone else seemed to be like, oh yeah, Daryl Taylor. Daryl Taylor looks fast. But I do think that he is still figuring things out, and I don't think he's really jumped off the screen at all. So I am with Brady from the perspective of it might not be the worst idea in the world to think about bringing KJ right now. And I think the real question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to move in the direction of the younger player and give the younger player playing time? Because if you do, then you'd sort of have to suck it up, let KJ go elsewhere, and hope that Taylor improves with experience over the course of a 17-game season.
Are you at a point where you can trust young players to develop, where you want to do that this season?
Shouldn't
because
you?
I can see, well, I don't know. If you think KJ Wright's better than Daryl Taylor right now, why don't you have KJ Wright here? I mean, honestly, and that's because the flip side is to say, well, Daryl Taylor will learn on the job, and the second half of the season, he'll be better than what you'd have for KJ Wright. Like, that would be the argument that you would make. And this is how I've always felt about Daryl Taylor, is you drafted him to be a defensive end. You drafted him knowing he was hurt. It was unfortunate that that injury lingered and kept him sidelined throughout his entire first season. But at this point, your decision has to be made based on what he's doing, not what could have been. Your decision has to be based on what you're seeing. He's had an injury that's kept him sidelined for an entire year, and he's playing a new position. And I don't know how far I'm willing to go down the road of, well, he'll figure it out, and he's young, so the upside is there, as much as, dude, this guy's got to play his way onto the field. I know he's a second-round pick, and I know you put a lot, but that was a while ago. And honestly, if I think that KJ Wright is a better player, that it's not a push, I'm real tempted to bring in KJ Wright to play that from the get-go, because you're not in a rebuilding situation here.
He had the best season of his career last year. Period. End of story. So you want to go in the direction of Daryl Taylor, fine, but he better be awesome. And I don't know that that's going to happen.
It seems like he and Rasheem Green have switched spots a couple times, but I can't tell if that's just Green going out of a different stance.
I've seen the same thing before, and when Alden Smith was in too, I had seen a little bit of movement like that, and I've also seen it with Benson Mayoa too. So I'm the same way. I'm not sure if it's them like flipping the formation or if it's some movement.
It's weird, right? Because it's not just about stance. Like, just because you line up in a 2-point stance doesn't mean you're a linebacker and not a defensive end. But Green has definitely done that the last time. So we're like, wait a minute, is he playing Sam? And I don't think he is. I think he's still at that rush end.
And some people call it their bear front, where you're basically having, even though one of the guys is the strong side linebacker, it's like five defensive linemen. So
is this people on the internet calling it
the
bear front?
Yes, it is.
It's people on the internet calling. Oh, that's what they call it on the internet, the bear front.
They actually call it the Kraken front.
Dave Wyman's not going to like this.
No.
The wolf front.
I just love it when you could see where they're in the bear front here. I was like, who's calling it that?
I want to say fancy lingo and sound smart. Come on,
you,
Danny.
You tape room McGee.
It's the Chupacabra front.
Question three. All right. cornerback is the great uncertainty on this team right now. Like, we've talked about strong side linebacker, which is maybe an issue if you squint hard enough. Center, which is uncertain, but that's largely because of injury. Anybody have any idea what the heck's going on at corner? Ken Norton, can you shed some light on what you guys are going to do at cornerback?
DJ just came back, you know, from his injury. You know, Trey's been having a fantastic camp. He's
Trey
been really
Flowers.
Doing some really good things. Witherspoon is a guy that's been making plays. He had a really good day yesterday. He's been having a really good camp. Preseason has been fair. But at the same time, I think a lot of guys, the competition is still out there. I don't think any decision has been made. But at the same time, we have some really good players to choose from.
Unhelpful, Ken.
Nope.
Unhelpful.
You did say Akella Witherspoon had a nice day, but we could say that about a lot of the corners. We could say that about
Trey
Flowers.
You just read a bunch of names.
He did.
And including the fact that he called a guy Trey, and I'm like, hey, that doesn't narrow it down. There are two of those dudes among your cornerbacks. There's a Flowers and a Brown.
Well, he's taking things out of the Russell Wilson playbook of I'm going to filibuster by saying as many names as I possibly can think of off the top of my head.
Schottenheimer liked to do that last year, too.
That's a good call, yeah. Moira. You know,
What's going on? What are we going to see week one?
I still don't know.
Come on!
Fine. What I want to see happen is I want it to be DJ Reed and Trey Brown. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of upside with Trey Brown.
With Brown, it's a knee, though, right?
Yep. And that's concerning because what did he deal with last year? It was Quinton Dunbar. And a knee.
Okay.
Or a lack thereof.
It's going to be DJ Reed. Right?
Yep.
Reed's practicing. He'll have enough time. He's going to play outside there. On the other side, I think it's going to be Witherspoon. I don't think they're going to go with a rookie.
But what about Trey Flowers? I mean, they like...
No, Flowers is playing on the other side with Reed.
I'm
done hearing about that. Are we going to have more of the Trey Flowers thing? I think, haven't I already sold that like three times?
Going to make Flowers today.
Look, I hope that Trey Flowers is a really key special teams contributor, and if he's called upon, I hope we do see it. But I'm going to give some other guys a shot first. I want to see some other guys.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
Like,
I mean,
he's not playing
on
the same side as Reed, right?
Yeah.
It's Flowers or Reed, and it's Witherspoon or Brown. I think out of those two, I think we're going to end up seeing Reed and Witherspoon.
What about Demaryius Randall? Pete Carroll talked about it.
He seems to have some weird obsession with Randall.
Because Randall was good a couple of years ago. Sort of like Pierre Desir was good a couple of years ago, but Pierre Desir is with us no more.
Randall was playing safety, though, right?
He did play corner for a little bit, though, and I think he had one season
where
he was good.
That is not the direction guys go later in their career. They don't usually move to the outside. Usually you move to the inside of the field because you don't get faster as you get older.
Unless you go to, like, Germany and you're LeBron James.
Get blood spinning operations done, a little Regenikine. Yeah, I'm out on Demaryius Randall until I see that happen. That to me sounds like one of those names they're just saying because they'd like to see it happen.
Saying all the names, it's a concern. It really is. I am less optimistic than I was when they first brought in Witherspoon this offseason, and especially because it is almost entirely reliant on an undersized corner to be healthy for 17 games. And DJ Reed, it's not like. He hasn't had injury issues before. I mean, that's the reason that San Francisco let him go last year. They put him on waivers hoping to be able to bring him back and stash him.
Our training camp coverage presented by Precor Home Fitness. That is Blue 42. Michael Bumpus will be with us tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour.